Well, good morning. So good to see you today. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. It's always great for a grandparent when they get to spend time with their grandchildren. So Audrey and I enjoyed some time with our grandsons this week. We really liked it. We've been in a series of messages about the journey. We've been looking at the Christian life and the basics of it. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Acts, the first chapter. Now, I realize that some of you don't carry a paper Bible anymore. You don't use that. Well, I'd like to see you using that electronic Bible, too. It's a very handy-dandy thing. Do some great apps now where you can interrelate. And if you're wondering, a great one is the YouVersion Bible. You can get that on the computer, or you can use it on your phone. It's a great tool. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 and a little bit in Acts chapter 2 today. So, three questions for you as we begin. Number one, are you frustrated about anything in your life right now? Let's all the honest people raise your hand. Okay, all right. I think we have that in common. Not going to testify about that, but let's just assume that is true. Second question, do you feel helpless to change certain situations in your life? Some things you're looking at and you think, man, I just don't know what to do. In fact, you're saying, God, just if you could just write it in the sky and tell me what to do, I'll do it. Third question, do you feel powerless? Do you feel powerless? Are there times in your life do you feel powerless? Now, this message is for us as the body of Christ today, and it's about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, let's read in the first eight verses of chapter 1 in Acts. The first account I composed, Theophilus. Now, the first account, that this is Dr. Luke writing this, so his first account was the Gospel of Luke. So actually, the book of Acts is part two of the story of this Gentile doctor, Luke. And oh, what attention to detail he had. And it's very important, especially when we get into Acts and all these things that happened. His as the Holy Spirit spoke through him, it was wonderful. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So, the place we're at right now, Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into heaven. We're on the weekend of that fourth feast, the Shavuot. We call it Pentecost, that was fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Four of the feasts of God that have been fulfilled, three yet to be fulfilled, the fall feast. They'll be fulfilled in the second coming and everything that surrounds that. Verse 3, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So what has Jesus been doing after his resurrection from the dead? He's been appearing to people and teaching. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs, the seasons, in other words, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. May God bless the reading of His Word. So, why would I read this passage to you? Why would we talk about this when we're talking about being empowered? We think about these difficult situations of life that we're all in the middle of and trying to deal with. And God has power for us that is available for us so we can live through those things. Point number one. Imagine how the disciples must have felt at this time. Now think, we're here. Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's saying, I'm leaving you. Think how they must have felt. Well, Jesus, all the stuff that has happened, and we thought you were going to restore the kingdom. We thought you were going to, yeah, the king has come. It's all going to happen right now. You see, in some ways, they were under the assumption they were melding together the two comings of Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, when it speaks of the second coming of Jesus, sometimes it's like they're put together, the two. But then as more revelation comes and we look back at those Old Testament prophecies, we see that some of those were talking about the first coming of Jesus. Like when He comes as the suffering servant. When He comes humbling Himself before mankind. When He comes to, you know, Isaiah 53. That kind of suffering servant. He comes to his own don't receive. But then there's a second coming of Jesus. That's also that, when we listen to Handel's Messiah, he shall reign forever and ever, and all those passages that you know, I think is the greatest piece of music that has ever been written. Hey, Moses. Pastor Moses is here with us. Welcome today. Y'all welcome him today. God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad you're here today. So when Isaiah is speaking about that, he's speaking about the second coming. Now, so the disciples didn't understand all that yet. They understand part of it, but they're kind of in between. Imagine how they must have felt at this time. It's kind of like when Dad, he took me out on this job, he said, we are going to wire this house. And we got out there, and he dropped me off, and he said, here's the stuff. And I said, where are you going? He said, I've got other work to do. I'll see you later. And there I am. I don't know jack squat about this. You know, it's kind of the way he taught me to swim. You know, the same way he took me to the lake, and he threw me in. He said, you'll learn fast. And I did. Imagine how they felt that Jesus is leaving. He's talking all this leaving stuff. Now he's talking about this other comforter coming. But listen, they know nothing about the Holy Spirit. They know nothing about the stuff that's about to happen. And these promises, but they have to trust Jesus. Secondly, it was the plan of Jesus all along to blow their doors off. That was His plan all along. Look at verse 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's what He began to do. Now listen, there's some of us sitting here that are still in the began stage of Christianity. And I want you to know, the Lord's ready to blow our doors off if we'll let Him. It's coming. Number three, He didn't want them distracted by religious stuff. Now, He's telling them all this stuff. He's been telling them, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, the one who walked beside you, the one who... They don't know anything about that. They don't understand it. So, in verse 6 and 7, read again. So, when they come together, they begin asking Him, Lord, is it this time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? See what they're still thinking about? They're thinking about the future thing when the kingdom is going to come, we get to the millennial kingdom, he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. They mixed that up. They thought that was coming at this time. When he came the first time, where did he set up his kingdom? Where? Kayla, you're saying, where does he set up his kingdom? In our heart, that's right. He's king of our heart. But man, when he comes back the second time, when he comes back and he touches down on this earth, he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth and he's going to show us how it was supposed to be. He said, man, you just thought you had some things right. I'm going to show you. And the reigning king, Jesus, is going to show you. He came humbly the first time. When he comes back the second time, he's not coming back as a humble servant. He's coming back as the reigning king of all. And he's going to put things right. Now, they're asking all these questions. Is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom? Verse 7, he says, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. What did Jesus tell them right there? Essentially, he's saying, keep the main thing the main thing. And then verse 8 is so effective. We'll get to it. Number 4. Now, let me ask you, before we get to number 4, do we ever get distracted by religious stuff? Huh? Stuff like how many angels can you put on one head of one pin? Or which little minor doctrine? Now, doctrine's important. But there's some things that are of a minor nature that I do not divide with other Christians over. There's some things that aren't worth it because we want to see the gospel go forth in the earth. I don't wear a tie on Sunday. Thank God. I quit wearing them. When we first moved here in 93 to plant the church, now, you got to understand where I had come out of. I was strict Baptist. I had suits lined up. I mean, I think I had one pair of jeans and maybe two sport shirts. But my closet was full of starched, long-sleeved, button-down Oxford shirts. That's what I wore every day. And I'd rotate them till they got threadbare around here and around here and then throw them away. Go and buy another crop of them. And wear the. I put on a tie every single day. It was part of the uniform. When I moved here, you know, the first week we're here, I feel naked. So therefore, a little while I put the tie on. I thought, man, do you look dumb? And I said, well, maybe we don't need to wear a tie at church. Do we need to wear one?
No.
I don't think so. But you know what? When I go some other places, they wear ties. And they said to them, it makes them feel good about being. And so you know what? When I go to those shows, you know what I do? I wear a tie. Because you know, it's not about what you wear. It's not about the trappings, is it? Now, when I go to Nigeria in a month, it doesn't matter. It could be 150 degrees. And Clement is going to march me out. I got to wear that tie and that suit. And it's going to be wet through every layer that I put on my body. I mean, you might as well get up and just go ahead and get the hose and hose me down right there before we ever leave, because I'm going to be soaking wet. I'm going to feel it dripping into my shoes. I'm sweating so much. And then he sends me a note the day before yesterday. He said, bring a fan. It's hot. You can. I said, like, hey, duh. It's hot. It's Nigeria. Come on. It's March. And of course it's hot. But you know what? I don't want them distracted by religious stuff when I get there. You know what I want them thinking about? Jesus. Everything that points to him. Number 4. As usual, he asked them to wait. Look at verse 4 again. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. How many times you go through the scripture does God ask us to wait? What's the hardest thing for anybody to do? Man, wait. Finley, my oldest grandson, his grandmother, Gamma, promised him a piece of pie. He's over there eating his dinner fast as he can. And then he comes around the other side of the table and he says, I'm ready. For what? The pie. Well, you've got to wait. And so he stands there. And he's just waiting. Wait, do you feel like you do the same thing with God? Man, you hoist that prayer up. You know, something that one of those things from those three questions that we asked initially that you're frustrated about, something's going on in your life, you don't know what to do. And then, okay, God, I'm waiting. And doesn't the time just seem to get longer when you have to? Why is waiting so important? Because waiting equates trust. Finley knew he could wait on that piece of pie because he knew what was going to happen. The weakness of his grandmother would kick in. She would not be able to look at that little face, those little eyes, and know what he was thinking. Pie. Gotta have it. Wait. Our waiting is not in vain. It's during the wait time. I mean, how's God answer prayer? He answers prayer yes, no, and wait. Wait's the hardest one, isn't it? So again, they're waiting. What or who are they waiting on? What had Jesus been teaching and promising? I'm going to send you another comforter. Yes, I'm a comforter. I'm here in the flesh. But I'm going to send you another comforter. The Spirit of God is coming. They don't understand this. See, they're on the other side of Pentecost. They're not getting it all together. But they trust Jesus. So they wait. Number five. There are about 120 ordinary people. Now look at verse 15 there. We didn't read it. But these were of one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women. This is verse 14. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there altogether. And he said, and then he preaches some. About 120 people. About 20 right there. Were these fantastic, gifted, and educated evangelists? They'd been in school at these Bible colleges and seminaries. Just waiting for them to graduate, and graduation day is about to come on Pentecost to be thrown out. Is that what it is? We're talking about ordinary, everyday, average people. You know, when now God does get a Phi Beta Kappa with Paul, but later on, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he's one of the intelligentsia of the group, but for the most part, these are average, just like me and you. That is a tremendous point there. Ordinary people. Because there's some of us sitting here that have decided in our mind and heart that God can't use us because we're not this extraordinarily gifted, talented person that's got all this ooze and this education, this training, just naturally gifted with things. I mean, there are certain people that are gifted with things that God just gives them. I mean, one of my children is my oldest boy, Brandon. I mean, he came into the world with a music gift that just oozes out of him. I asked him one day, I said, you know, all the couple of dozen instruments that you play, why don't you think God let Daddy play one of those? I said, I would enjoy that. He said, Dad, you have to take that up with God. And I've asked God for that, but he hadn't seen fit to just give me that. And we're thinking, well, we got to be in some kind of category like that. But you know what? 99 times out of 100, that isn't who God uses. He's using ordinary people like me and you. Ordinary folk. I mean, you think of Peter. Man, Peter, the head of the church, the guy who preaches the sermon. I mean, Peter probably at the beginning of it couldn't spell cat without spotting him two letters. Think of this. Ordinary people, just like you. Number six, the plan that he had was empowerment via himself. Now go back to Acts 1:8 again. Let's parse it. Let's break it down. You shall. You who? The 120. We know specifically it's talking about them. Because he's telling them, go to Jerusalem and you wait. You wait. And they're there in prayer. And God's doing marvelous things. But they have gathered together. You know what's significant about that 120 for us personally? That's about our attendance on Sunday. So this has got a specific application for us. In a week fairly ordinary, well, outside of maybe Jay and Tyler, we're pretty ordinary people. But I'm not going to give the rest of y'all's testimony there. But you, us, shall receive power. Dynamite kind of power. That's the word there. Word that's there is the word from which we get our word dynamite. You shall receive dynamite power after, and now he introduces, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now who is the Holy Spirit? He's God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of Jesus, he's called. Paul calls him that in Romans 8. He calls him the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is going away physically, this one who was all God and all man at the same time. He was God in the flesh revealed to us. Now, he is about to ascend into heaven. The ascension is about to take place. He's about to go. And they're going to watch him there. And two angels are going to be standing side by side. And what do they say? The same way he went is the same way he's going to do what? Come back. So where are we living right now? We're in between. We're living in the white part of the Oreo cookie. Right now. Right now. That's where we're living. This plan of empowerment was by himself because he's going away. The Son is coming. And who is the Son going to send? The Holy Spirit. Ha! You can't see him. He's Spirit. The only way you get to see Him is when He manifests in one of us, when He fills us. You sense His presence, but you don't see Him physically until you see Him manifest. And that's when we, the Spirit of God, Jesus Himself, takes on our flesh. You got it? So then we become the advertiser. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be. Spirit comes, and there's no question about it. You shall be my witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's a command to all believers, to have a plan for that. Number seven, go to Acts chapter 2. God the Holy Spirit shows up. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent, rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. What were they doing? They were waiting. They were praying. They were asking God to come. They were asking Him, Lord, we're ready. We don't understand it. We stand on the precipice of something we don't understand. We've never been here before. We've never done this stuff before. Is that where you're standing right now? How much of the work of God do you understand? In the earth. How much do you want to understand? Are you ready for Him? Verse 3, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. The fire of God. There's 10 sermons right here. They rested on each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit was giving them. Utterance. God showed up. His Spirit showed up. How do you explain the work of the Holy Spirit? How do you explain what happened that day? So what happens that day is you have all these people that were in Jerusalem for this feast, this fourth feast of the year, this feast that is 50 days, hence the name Pentecost. This feast that was connected in some ways to you read in Leviticus 23 about harvest time and a harvest. Can you see that with what he does with it as it's fulfilled? Does a harvest come? It's also connected with a law. That's in Jewish tradition. It's connected with the law. We see that. How are you going to keep the law without the power of the Holy Spirit? You don't know how to live. You don't know what to do unless He shows you. How did they know what to do? The Spirit of God comes. There's that fire, that like a tongue of fire resting on them. All the pictures of that burning out that which is not of God and filling them with Himself. Oh, man. I'm getting a goosebumps on top of goosebumps right now just to think about that. And God used them. And He spoke. The people that were there, they were there. Jews had come from all over the world for this time. It was great timing for God to come and for the Spirit of God to fall. And we see that day 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 got saved. And then many more after that. Many priests who were part of the whole religious system got saved during that time. We see the manifestation of the power of God. We see as Acts rolls on that people were healed, people were delivered, people were set free. But the bottom line was salvation. All those things were outcropping, were signs to point people to Jesus so they could be saved. Just like it is. Signs and wonders took place. Why? To point people to Jesus. And they spoke in these tongues. They spoke in the languages of the people. The miraculous happened as the word went out. God is not bound by our boundaries. He breaks through. He does things in marvelous ways. And we've seen Him break through in our lives. We've seen breakthrough on college campuses. We've seen Him breakthrough in cities. We've seen Him breakthrough in areas of the country, other places in the world. God shows up. Are you ready for Him to show up for you? Do you desire Him? Now, here's three parting thoughts for today. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to come upon you? What we see happen is that if you read in 1 Corinthians, you read in Ephesians, and you read in Romans, and then other books where they're alluded to, you see gifts are distributed. Everybody that comes to Jesus, He comes and indwells the Spirit of God. He baptizes them in Himself, and He will come and fill you, and He will give you these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Different from talents, special spiritual gifts where He equips His church. Are you ready for Him to come to you? To give you the power to live the life He's called you to live. The power that relates to all those three questions I asked you initially about frustrations in your life, things where you feel powerless. I want you to know He has all the power you need. Everything you need. My first trip to Nigeria, went into the little room where we're staying, a little hotel that we're staying. It had outlets in the wall. And I said, man, Ken didn't tell me we're going to have electricity. So I plug up my devices, bought a computer, bought some other things. I wanted to charge up my batteries. I plugged it in. Had all the trapping. Had the wiring. It looked like it ought to work. Only one problem, no power. So I go to sleep that night and I left several things plugged in. About 4 o'clock in the morning, we came online. We joined the grid. Bam! I'd left the volume on something turned up and man, it got my attention because now we had power. We're connected. I didn't know where it was coming from in Nigeria. I didn't care. All I knew is that fan that was running off of a generator When the fan blade moves about like that, it's kind of hard to move air. As soon as we got online, man, it just about blew my toupee off. We had power. We had power. Are you ready for some power in your life? And who are you going to ask? There's only one source, and it's God. We're going to invite you in just a moment to do something about this message. Second thing, God desires no competition. You see, that's why it's an act of faith for the believer then to turn from his way of operating his life to turn to God. No competition. Say, God, I'm turning to you. There's no other way this power can come in my life unless I turn my back on every way I've tried to fix life. Can you agree with me on that? Anybody? Number three. Finally, he calls on us to cry out in faith. That means you don't have to understand it. That means he'll do what only you can do in your life. We had a refrigerator problem several years ago. And I'm kind of a fix-it guy. I like to fix things myself. And I do a lot of that fixing, putting it back together. I went online, I researched my refrigerator. It would not make ice. I made sure the water connection was there. Made sure everything, the little solenoid that goes in, that connects in there, all that was working. I got my meter out and I checked out all the... And you know what? At the end of the day, someone comes into the kitchen, person I've lived with for a long time, and makes a profound statement, says, you know what? We have no ice. Well, Einstein, that's very obvious. There is no ice because I have failed to fix the ice maker. Let your fingers do the walking. I call the expert in my life that I know who knows more about appliances than anybody in my life, Mickey Doubley, TV and Appliance Center on Bull Street, and I say, Mick, who do I call? He gives me the phone number. The guy says, I'll be over there day after tomorrow. And I've been promising my wife 2 years I was going to fix it. You getting the picture here? Some of you are a little slow on the uptake. He arrives just like he said, at the exact time that he said. He walks in the door. He opens the door. He looks at something in there. And he says, yeah, I see what it is. I'm feeling real bad right now. It can't be this easy. He goes out to his truck. He gets a part. He takes a few things apart. He puts a new part in. I don't know what it was because by this time, I'm looking at it. I don't even know. It's going to make me feel so stupid. So I'm in the other room and inside of 45 minutes, it's working, and he's walking to the door with his hand out for his pay. I write him a check, and he's on his way, and we have ice, and I still don't understand where it came from. I cried out in faith to a higher power than me, and it happened. I hope I haven't trivialized this for you. The garbage that's going on in your life right now, absolutely nothing is going to change until you cry out in faith and say, God, I need you. And that starts with saying, Holy Spirit of God, I don't understand all this. In fact, some of this stuff I read about and hear about is kind of spooky about the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my life, and I'm asking, come and fill me today. That means we've turned. See, it's a lot like salvation here. We've turned from our way of trying to do our lives, and we've tapped on to God's power that we don't have to understand. All you have to know is Him. Everything's worked out for you. Let's bow our heads. Dane, Kathy, and Audrey and I will be down here to pray with you if you want somebody to pray with you. But today, yes, if you've never received Jesus into your life today, I want to say to you today, come to Jesus.
He'll save you. He'll make you a new person. I realize that most of this message today has been for the church to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to understand Him today, but you need Him. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's ready, willing, and able right now to come and fill you. The Scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, it's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Cry out to Him today. Let Him come and fill you, and then let Him do with you in your life as He will. Lord, we come to You right now as we're opening the altar now. Lord, some of us have known You a long time. Some of us need to recommit ourselves to You today and ask You to fill us anew today. And I'm asking You to stir us right now. Stir our hearts. Move right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The altar's open. This is Miss Bonifacio.
That's Miss Bonifacio. I'm just Tina. Most of you know me and know that I'm not usually afraid to get up in front of a crowd of people, but today it's not fear. It's I want to be true to what God wants to relay through me about the miracle that He did on Monday, March 11th. Have you told them anything as a congregation? I shared it with my life group. I was out of town, and they were praying for me the whole time I was gone and have been praying for me for a long time. But briefly, if you don't know my medical story, in 2012, I began suffering from some unknown dizziness, and it eventually debilitated me where I didn't work for 3 months. I didn't drive. I didn't know what was coming next. I didn't know if I was going to pass out, or I was just afraid of what was coming next. So lots of tests and MRIs and lots of good news later, but a diagnosis of exclusion was migraines. Very thankfully, I did not have the headache that goes with a migraine, but all of the other light, sound, and noise sensitivity in a debilitating way, if I would expose myself to those triggers that caused the migraine, that would happen. So 2012, that's 7 years ago. Eventually, today is the first time I have been in this building in about 15 months because originally I would not come for the music, which was very life-giving to me before. Those who know me knew that I was on the stage singing, praising God. Music was a very big part of my life that I have missed. That's one of the triggers that with very few exceptions in the last 7 years, I could not listen to more than about 30 to 60 seconds of a song, praise music or otherwise, without triggering the migraine symptoms, which would then cause me to not be able to work, not be able to participate in the narrow life that I had gotten down to. But it wasn't cancer. It wasn't, a death diagnosis. I was so grateful that, okay, Lord, if this is my cross to bear, then, I'll do this. I'll do this for You, whatever. But very narrowed down life, narrowed down from the people I love and the things that I love to do, praising the Lord. So that's where I was on March 11th. Lots of people praying for that specific trip. It was an environment of very not God people. But God can work anywhere. And never have I ever considered that He was interested in healing me from this. I really thought, okay, this is my cross to bear, and had forgotten to pray for that, to ask for that healing anymore, while many around me were healing, were asking for that healing. No life group. No music in the car, I'm just trying to tell you how small my world was. And so I went out there. It was a health center with a client of mine who wanted a travel buddy. And I thought, okay, well, maybe this will resolve my high blood pressure. That's my big goal for this trip. And that did happen, by the way. But that third day, I awoke about 3:15 in the morning and just thought, I really want to listen to some praise music. And so I put my earbuds in, or whatever you call them, AirPods, and got my computer, some free music on the YouTube, and was looked up Third Day. That's a favorite band of mine, and thought maybe I can get through 30 or 60 seconds before my symptoms start. And 4 hours later, I was still laying in the bed listening to praise music and praising God. And I just wanted to tell you that today, that He has not forgotten you, even when you have forgotten, that He has better planned for you. And healing is not, you know, He doesn't do that physically here on this earth for everyone. But that was His plan for me, and I don't know if it is for this I didn't know that day if it was for that moment. It took me about 2 days to realize that I wasn't, the lights weren't bothering me, the motion wasn't bothering me, that He really had healed me in that moment. And whether it's for these 2 weeks or from now on, I just want to give Him praise and glory and stand here before you and tell you what the Lord has done for me. I love you all. Thank you for your prayers.
Friend of mine, he does this dance, and he sings, "Look what the Lord has done." I'm not going to dance or sing, but I am going to pray, and we're going to say, "Look what the Lord has done." Let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing our sister. How many of you have prayed for Tina's healing? Put your hand up. Look out there. These are people. God has intervened, and we thank you. Give you praise, honor, and glory, Jesus. There's no other name in heaven or earth that must be praised, only yours today. We glorify your name and thank you for what you have done in our sister's life. All glory is yours and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree in this prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Well, let's, who needs healing here today? Physical healing. You put your hand up. Let's pray that prayer right now, okay? Will you pray with me? Lord, we're asking. We're lifting up the hands of faith and we're saying, come, come Holy Spirit. Come very Spirit of Jesus Himself. Come great physician right now and bring healing. Healing to your body, healing to folks who are hurting, folks with emotional pain right now, folks with that just haven't felt good in a long time. We're asking you to lift disease right now, to put families back together, to bring wholeness and help right now, to do what only you can do, Lord. Because you're Lord of all. You're Lord over disease. You're Lord of our salvation. You're Lord over the earth. You're Lord of us. And we bow before you and ask you to come. Come right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you receive this prayer? Amen. Amen. Well, we want to receive those cards, those envelopes. If you have an offering to bring, we'll wait on those right now. All right. Dane says we can go now.
All right, Dane.
So we have Moses here today. So I'm going to let Moses say out loud, "Let my people go." Say it, Moses.
Let my people go.
There you go. All right.